Today's reading is from Acts 2, 1 to 12, which is on page 1093 of the Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of God.
Thank you so much, Lucy. Father God, as we reflect on that first Pentecost day, will you speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, of course, I say the first Pentecost day, but it wasn't the first Pentecost day, really, because Pentecost already existed. Pentecost was a festival of the Jews. It was one of the harvest festival. It was the day they celebrated the gathering of the grain. And it was called Pentecost because it was 50 days after Passover and the start of the harvest. So Pentecost was part already of the Jewish calendar, of the giving of the law. They remembered Mount Sinai when Moses had received the law from God, and they'd come to believe that that was 50 days after the Exodus. It was a time of harvest. It was a time of the giving of the law. And we'll come back to those and why it might have been that the Holy Spirit came on that day, but also very practically. Because I think our God is a practical God. Sometimes I want to pray more for the practicalities of technology, but he is a practical God. And on that day of Pentecost, because it was a festival, there are people from all nations around the Mediterranean who gathered in Jerusalem. It was a day when the sending of the Holy Spirit would have an impact that would go way beyond Jerusalem. Now, it may be that you sat listening to that story and thought, "I've heard this story many, many times before." Or it may be that you've been reminded of it, having not heard it for a long time. Or maybe you heard it for the first time. My prayer is that whether we've heard it many, many times before or for the first time, that something in that story would strike us today. I want to ask, what did the disciples experience? What did those disciples experience? I want to ask, what did they understand? And what was their response? What did they experience? What did they understand of what was happening? And what was their response? Now, when we get to what they experienced, like I was saying earlier, Luke, who's writing this account in Acts, it's almost like he's struggling for words because language struggles to describe the Holy Spirit because we can't see him. Ellen spent all week practicing her party trick for the party yesterday. And her party trick was very effective. She had a hairdryer and she had a plastic ball which she floated over the top of the hairdryer. So it looked like the ball was in kind of, you know, magically moving. And she moved the ball around using just the power of the hairdryer. The children were very excited about it and very impressed. But obviously they've forgotten that in the memory of popcorn. So, you know, it wasn't as exciting as popcorn. But again, we were trying to help them understand that you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you see the impact of the Holy Spirit equipping that ball to move. We had a candle. We had doves, we had flames, we had lots of different ways. And the writer, Luke of Acts, is trying the same. He says, the sound was like a rushing wind. It wasn't the wind, but it was like that. And what could they see? They could see what looked like tongues of fire. It wasn't actually fire. We had a moment in our house when it was a Sunday when we couldn't go to church. There was lots of illness in our house. And so we watched a service online. And I'd kind of set our child up with kind of something to do because I knew it was quite a long service. And he was colouring. But he was obviously listening because the person at the front said, I am going to pray that God would set us all on fire for him. And suddenly this little voice from the other side of the room went, I don't want to be on fire. That's partly because Key Stage 1 curriculum, they do the fire of London a lot. And so fire and the dangers of fire is emphasised a lot. So then we were able to have this great conversation about how God doesn't actually set us on fire, but it's like fire because fire warms us. Fire can be used to cleanse and clean. Fire can be used as an amazing sign of God's presence. And all through the Old Testament, time and time again, fire is seen when God is present. That holiness, that we don't draw too close at that point. So we use all of these things. And in the Acts, we get that description, like flames of fire, like the sound of wind. And then they start speaking in all of these different languages. The Holy Spirit's coming among them impacted what they heard, impacted what they saw, impacted what they could speak. That was their experience at that moment. I wonder what our experience of the Holy Spirit has been. So the Holy Spirit comes to each of us as individuals, and we are all so different. For some of us, you know, we are people that just love loudness and excitement and we like to explode with great joy. And for others of us, we're quiet and gentle. And the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is that he meets each one of us where we are at. And when he fills us up, sometimes we have that physical experience of feeling warm. Sometimes we can laugh or cry. The number of people that say to me, you know, oh, it's tricky because I come into church and then I start crying. I'm so sorry. And I'm always saying, please don't apologize. Why are we surprised when we who are people, physical and emotional, when God is speaking to us and we can't put it in language because it's hard to describe. Sometimes it's our emotions that are touched and we might be tearful or we might laugh. The Holy Spirit is at work within us. And the amazing thing is that actually it wasn't what they felt or what they said. It was the impact that it had that was important. And later on, which we'll see in a minute, Peter promises that when we ask for the Holy Spirit, we receive it. And whether we have a physical feeling or not, the truth is we've received the Holy Spirit when we ask because he promises he will give it. And that gentle sense of the Spirit at work within us. The disciples experience this amazing filling up of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what our experience of the Holy Spirit has been and is. We don't need, like that child afraid of fire, we don't need to be afraid of it. It's the natural part of being in the kingdom of God, to have the Spirit of God filling us. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit each day. So I don't know about you, but I leak and I need the Holy Spirit to keep filling me. But what did they understand? You see, one of the amazing things that the Holy Spirit does is that he equips us to understand more of who God is. Jesus promises to his disciples, I will send you a helper, an advocate who will point you and reveal more of the truth to you. Peter, that disciple who on a number of occasions got it very wrong, who was struggling all the time to kind of catch up with what Jesus was talking about and what he was asking of them. He was keen, but he kind of kept getting it wrong. It's Peter who stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches this most amazing sermon. And the Holy Spirit has given him an understanding of the scriptures that he knew as a child and had read. And he's able to draw upon them. And he quotes from the prophet Joel. And we didn't get Lucy to read that whole sermon, but it's a great sermon. I encourage you, have a read of Acts chapter 2. And in that sermon, first of all, he says, you don't need to fear this. This gift that's transformed this group of people, it has been promised for years. And who's it been promised to? We read the prophet Joel. My spirit will be outpoured on sons and daughters, on slaves and on free. This is a gift for everyone, whoever we are, wherever we come from. The gift is for us. And then he goes on to describe who Jesus was and what Jesus did. Because the Spirit always points us to Jesus. Always helps us to see who Jesus was and what he did and who he is today. The Spirit always points us to understand more of Jesus. You know, sometimes we can have with the Holy Spirit, we can read all about it, we feel like our understanding is there, but we're saying, but I want to experience more. I long to experience more. And for others of us, we've kind of had this sense of the Holy Spirit at work. We've sensed different things, but we need some understanding. We need to ask him, help me to understand. And what's their response? Well, the response of the people listening to Peter, they say, what should we do? We've heard this amazing good news. And he says, repent and be baptized, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And over 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus that day. That's a sermon. That's a sermon that has an amazing impact because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How right that this was happening on harvest. Their harvest. Not now of grain, but the harvest of lives coming to know Jesus. How right that this happened on the day when they celebrated the giving of the law, because in Jeremiah, it promises that God would come and write a new law on our hearts. And it wouldn't be about trying to follow a list of rules. It would be a law that was within us. And it would be written by grace. It'd be written in a way that was made possible by Jesus' death and resurrection. That meant we could follow him and would know within us by the gift of the Holy Spirit the ways to walk in that honored God. So the initial response of all those people was to say, for those who didn't know Jesus, I want to follow him and I want to receive the Holy Spirit. But there's also the response of the disciples to what they experienced. Did you notice? They were gathered, waiting. Jesus had told them to wait, but they're also gathered together inside, fearful, because the persecution was breaking out against them. They'd seen Jesus crucified, and any followers of him were not good news. But as the Holy Spirit fills them, they break out into the street. And Peter stands up, and a crowd is gathering, and he's equipped by the Holy Spirit to speak. But it's also not just him. It's also all of those who were translating what he was saying into different languages, languages they'd never spoken before, but they were playing their part. That meant that fantastic list that Lucy did so well with very little notice, reading the lists of all the people, heard it, the good news, in their language. I wonder what our response is this morning. I wonder what God is asking of us. It may be that we feel, you know what? I need to say, yes, I believe in Jesus and I long for his Holy Spirit. Really for the first time. But it may be that you have asked for the Holy Spirit many times before. And God is asking you to step out. Because you know he answers your prayer. But you're still gathered in that room waiting for more. And God says, I've given it to you. I always give the Holy Spirit when you ask. And what's he asking? What does it look like for us? It might not look like for us standing and preaching to 3,000 people. Phew, you say. It might not look like speaking in a different language. But it might look like, what is the language God wants me to share his good news with that person at the school gate? What is the language that God wants me to use to share that good news in my family? To be different in my workplace. What does that look like? How might the Holy Spirit equip me again to be who God is calling me to step out? And that's challenging. But the Holy Spirit, that gift of God for each one of us. I was reading this week, someone who was writing about how we can often sometimes think, as we kind of think about tongues of fire and different tongues that we speak, and can think that's all kind of supernatural, and we'll put that over there because we're here. But you know, that's the natural way of the kingdom of God. The natural way of the kingdom of God is being filled with his Spirit, to know his love, to have our understanding increase that we might understand who Jesus is more, to have that confidence to step out in some of those situations that are really challenging. Are we willing to ask again today, Holy Spirit, in this broken, struggling world, we need your Spirit. We need your Spirit. Over the next 10 weeks on a Sunday morning, we're going to read through these first chapters of Acts to look together at what does the Holy Spirit do with that little group of disciples who step out. What are some of the challenges they face, and how does the Spirit equip them in those different places? What does the Spirit do? And my prayer is that as we journey, looking through week by week, our confidence in the God who equips us might grow. So would you stand with me? And we're just going to spend in the quietness a few moments before we sing, acknowledging that God's presence is with us. His Holy Spirit, that promised by Jesus, came on that Pentecost day with great power and impact. And that same Holy Spirit is available for each of us today. So in the quiet, you have a conversation with God. the thing that strikes me from that promise of the Holy Spirit is that it says the Holy Spirit will be outpoured. It doesn't say out-trickled. It doesn't say out-showered. It says outpoured. But I think we often settle for a dribble. Let's not settle for a dribble. Father, I pray now for each one of us that where we need to be refilled, where we need to be filled for the first time, will you come and fill us with your Holy Spirit? That we might know deep within us that we are loved. That we might know that peace that passes understanding. That we might know a new boldness and be equipped by you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us, we pray.